How often do you feel overwhelmed by the complexity of life? It can be tempting to question who's really in control. The Bible offers surprising comfort. Today, Stephen returns to Romans 11, where the Apostle Paul celebrates God's infinite wisdom, unsearchable plans, and ultimate glory. Gain a fresh perspective on even the hardest questions, and learn to see everything as flowing from and back to God. Here's Stephen Davey with today's lesson.
The Apostle Paul has spent 11 chapters on the Christian's beliefs, and now he's ready to begin writing about the Christian's behavior. He's going to move from principles to practices. But first, we need to sail back one more time into Romans chapter 11 and look at these last few verses. It's as if Paul has climbed a mountain range so far. He's scaled one doctrinal challenge after another, but now he's made it to the highest peak of divine truth, and it seems to me like he just wants to stop and take in the view. He can't move on just yet. He's seen the guilt of mankind and the grace of God. He's witnessed the corruption of culture and the compassion of Christ. I got to tell you, Paul here, he just seems a bit overwhelmed with the grace and power and justice and sovereignty and love and mercy of God. So Paul will end this major section of inspired scripture with this burst of joy. This is a grand doxology of praise that Paul begins to sing. Now, the first thing that Paul celebrates about God is this. When it comes to the wisdom of God, it is immeasurable. Paul writes here in verse 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God." This is another way of saying that God knows everything there is to know, and he's always known it. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? God has never learned one thing. He's always known everything. So Paul just, you know, he cries out from this mountain peak of inspiration down to where you and I are kind of muddling through the shadows today. And he says, take courage. While you can't measure the depth of God's wisdom, you can be sure he knows everything about you. He knows where you live, where you work, who you're married to. He knows everything about your children. He's never surprised, and you will never be abandoned. Secondly, Paul celebrates this thought. When it comes to the decisions of God, they are unsearchable. Paul writes further here in verse 33, how unsearchable are his judgments. Now, the word for judgments that Paul uses here generally stands for judicial verdicts or decrees from God. Paul says they are unsearchable. That's another way of saying there's no way you can fully figure out the decision-making process of God. See, we're bound by time. God is boundless in eternity. We're like spiritual kindergartners trying to spell out the mystery of God with alphabet blocks. And it seems like we're always missing some of the letters. Well, be encouraged. Paul's missing some letter blocks too. He can't fully explain the mystery of God's decrees. He can only express the truth of them. You see, when it comes to the mind of God, it is immeasurable. When it comes to the decisions of God, they are unsearchable. Well, here's a third thing to celebrate. When it comes to the ways of God, they are untraceable. Paul writes here at the end of verse 33, how inscrutable are his ways. The Greek word Paul uses for inscrutable here refers to footprints that cannot be tracked. David describes God this way in Psalm 77. Your way was through the sea, your path through the great waters, yet your footprints were unseen. Well, it's as if Paul here is saying the same thing. He surveys the content of these first 11 chapters, and he basically says, you know, we haven't seen anything yet. There's so much more about God that we have yet to learn. No wonder James Denny, he was a revered Scottish theologian of the late 19th and early 20th centuries. He used to warn his seminary students against thinking that they could learn all there is to know about God. And he would often say it this way, "Gentlemen, to study infinity will require eternity." I like that. And we're going to learn about God throughout all of eternity. Well, now Paul asks two questions, and he's quoting from two Old Testament passages. He refers to Isaiah 40 and verse 13, as he writes here in verse 34, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" In other words, who's ever given God advice? Well, sometimes we can do that, can't we, when we don't like what he's doing in our lives. We might suggest to God that his timing is late, or maybe, you know, his decisions are missing the mark somewhere. We can develop an attitude that we know better than God. This know-it-all attitude betrays our pride. This reminds me of Clifton Fadiman's Little Brown Book of Anecdotes, where he tells the story of the heavyweight boxing champion Muhammad Ali, who was on an airplane that was preparing to take off. The flight attendant came by and reminded him to fasten his seatbelt. And Ali looked up at her and said, "Superman doesn't need a seatbelt." To which this quick-thinking woman replied, "Well, Superman doesn't need an airplane either." Well, with that, the boxing champion buckled his seatbelt, and so should we. Now, the Apostle Paul next draws upon Job 41 in verse 11, as he writes here in verse 35. "Who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid?" In other words, Paul is saying, when did God ever borrow anything from us? When did he borrow strength or resources from mankind that he's got to pay us back? Well, let me tell you, God doesn't owe us a thing. We owe him everything. This reminded me of the missionary William Carey. After plodding 20 years translating the Bible into several languages in India, a fire destroyed all his work in one afternoon. Manuscripts of books and Bible translations, literally decades of hard work, went up in smoke. Listen to what William Carey would write later on. "To me, the consideration of God's sovereignty and wisdom have supported me," reading from Psalm 46, verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Well, I meditated on two ideas. First, that God has a sovereign right to do as he pleases. And second, that I am to submit to whatever God does with me and to me. Well, let me tell you, this is the kind of perspective you get when you're up there on the mountaintop of inspired doctrine. Now, Paul ends his doxology with rather familiar words here in verse 36. "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen." In this phrase, Paul praises God for three more things. First, he says that God is the original source. "For from him," literally, "out of him are all things." He is the original creator, the original source. Second, Paul says that God is the only channel. "For from him and through him." Third, he says God is the ultimate goal of all things. "For from him and through him and to him are all things." That is, to him belongs all the praise and glory. Beloved, we've got to make a radical shift in our perspective. We're too earthbound. We're too limited. We don't think enough of God's glory. Why did God create the heavens and the earth? Was it to give us a beautiful place to live? Well, yes, but greater than that, David wrote in Psalm 19, verse 1, that the heavens declare the glory of God. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world and live a sinless life and die on the cross and rise from the dead? Well, we'd probably answer, to save us from our sins. And that's true. But there's actually a higher purpose, as Jesus himself indicated when he prayed back in John 17 and verse 4. Jesus said to God the Father, "I glorified you on earth having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. In other words, the triune God received glory from the obedience of Christ. What are we going to say one day when we stand before the throne of God? Are we going to be singing praises for how good God has been to us? Well, absolutely. But the lyrics of our song have already been provided in Revelation chapter 5. We're going to be singing with all the redeemed this grand doxology. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. Revelation 5:13. That's going to be our perspective from the mountain peaks of heaven. So in the meantime, let's join Paul here as he ends his doxology to God. In fact, it's the only way you could end it appropriately. He writes, "To him be glory forever. Amen." Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today you learned that God's ways are infinitely higher than your own. He is the source of all things. His plans are perfect, and He alone deserves our unending praise. Instead of despairing over what you don't understand, rest in the assurance of God's sovereignty and wisdom. Stephen would like to be able to communicate with you and send you more wisdom from God's Word. Sign up for a free membership in what we call Friends of Wisdom. That's a group that receives weekly encouragement from Stephen by email. Stephen might send you an article that he's written that'll help you walk wisely through life. Often, he answers a Bible question that he received from one of our listeners. At least once a month, he sends a free resource to that group of friends. As I mentioned, joining Friends of Wisdom is both free and easy. All you have to do is visit wisdomonline.org/friends. Once again, the website where you can sign yourself up is wisdomonline.org/friends. Thanks so much for joining us today. Be sure and come back next time to continue traveling through God's Word on the Wisdom Journey.